James suddenly appeared. He hit the man over the head with the bookend really hard. I've never seen such a thing. But that horrible man, he didn't even blink. He just turned around and he looked at James. Oh, my God, James knew!
Marianne sobbed.
You could see it on his face. He knew what was going to happen next. Run, Marianne, he said. So I did. And I heard noises. I heard the most awful noises. I tried so hard not to hear those sounds. Except then it became quiet. And that was so much worse. I couldn't take it anymore. I had to see James. Oh, my poor, poor darling James.
She crumpled to the floor beside the body. She clutched her husband's limp hand, and his fingers very slowly curled around hers.
James!
Marianne wept.
James, he's breathing. Oh, my darling, you're still alive.
Shh, Bobby and Catherine said instantly. He's going to come back.
Who's coming back?
Richard Umbrio.
Isn't that the man who kidnapped you, Catherine?
Marianne was bewildered.
That was years ago. What would he possibly want with us?
Marianne, Catherine said steadily, where's Nathan? The closet was dark, but not totally dark. Nathan couldn't stand totally dark, especially now when he was already really scared. He'd let the puppy go. He wished he hadn't done that now. He missed its warm little body, its sandpaper tongue licking reassuringly at his hand. Now he was very much alone. He'd seen the bad man do bad things. Then he'd heard his grandfather holler run, so he'd run the other way. Far from everyone, because he didn't like his grandfather, who kept demanding Nathan go home with him, even when it was clear his mommy didn't want him to. So Nathan dropped the puppy and ran in the other direction, away from everyone, including the bad man. Then he'd seen this closet with the shuttered door. It was small, filled with blankets and pillows and piles of bedding. He wished he were bigger. He wished he were stronger. He wished he were a normal, healthy boy, because a normal, healthy boy could probably climb all the way to the top of the closet where he could hide above the bad man's head. But Nathan couldn't do that. So he simply dug his way to the back of the tiny space. He closed the door. He covered himself with down pillows and did his best not to sneeze. Now he waited all alone, in the dark. The bad man was coming. Nathan whispered,
Mommy.
Catherine had finished tying the pillowcase around Bobby's bleeding shoulder. It looked and felt ridiculous, but it was the best they could do. Both handguns rested next to Bobby on the bed, within easy reach if Umbrio should return. Looking at Bobby's mangled shoulder, however, Catherine wondered if the guns would really do much good. Next, Catherine crossed to James, still prostrate on the floor. Blood pooled beneath him, while from his lungs came an ominous whistle, like a balloon losing its air. Marianne had his head on her lap, her hand stroking his cheek. She was crying huge, soundless tears. As Catherine approached, Marianne raised her head. Her gaze was beseeching, but there was nothing Catherine could do. The judge was dying, they all knew that. The judge gazed up at Catherine. For the longest time, the two simply stared at one another. Catherine waited to feel something. She wanted to feel something. Triumphant, victorious, satisfied. But all she felt was an emptiness that went on without end. I know what you did, Catherine said at last, her voice curiously flat. A geneticist finally diagnosed Nathan. My son suffers from a rare disorder that only occurs in families with a history of incest.